Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio listeners out there. You guys, I'm so sorry that I'm kind of late getting started. Didn't mean for that to happen, so please accept my apologies. I'm hoping everyone had a great week this week. This is the last Thursday in February, and my last show, I thought I would interview Mr. Reuben Armstrong. Now, please, I want to apologize for anybody who wanted to call in, because the thing is, we pre-recorded the interview simply because Mr. Armstrong is a very busy man, but the idea that he took time out to actually allow me to interview him was amazing for me. So what I'm going to do now is I want you guys to hear some of our interview, and then we'll continue with our conversation about Fannie C. Hamer. We'll close the show out with discussing her, okay? So if you give me a second to get set up here, we can get started, okay? Just one second.
Book signings, you have to take that into consideration too, am I right? Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. But then you get in the pulpit and you watch some of these programs, they advertise to the church on the church money that they're preaching on. Yes, T.J. Jakes or Kirk O'Donnell, Ed Alone, they like write books and they like do lectures. But you watch the advertisement on television or you watch their program on television or you should listen to them on radio, they advertise their book while they're preaching the word of God.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. They do that. You're right. Now, let's talk about the controversy with Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah, you know, back in 2006 when I wrote that controversial book, Snake's Pulpit, which made bestseller, when I talk about Bishop Eddie Long, you know, had a homosexual relationship with other members of their church. People were angry at me. People were mad at me. She wanted to beat me up. I do things to me that I've never heard of. It was just shocking how our people do not, we're so blinded. I think some people are so blinded into what's going on in our churches. You know, Bishop Eddie Long, yeah, he's right now allegedly abusing four young men into having sex with them, by taking them on trips, according to the lawsuit, taking them on vacation, buying cars for them, buying jewelry for them, and doing these different things for these young boys, and coerce them into having sexual relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, have they settled that yet? Because I haven't heard it in the news in a while.
But of course, the news will definitely cover things up now. I did talk to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper on last week. Mediation is supposed to be starting on February 14th. I contacted the attorney for those young boys, and I also contacted Bishop Eddie Long attorney, and they have not returned my call. And the secretary told me that they're not going to even comment or even take return my call because the fact is, the mediation may not finish the story, or it's not going to start on what is exactly going on with the case. But I did reach out to Judge Tennyson. Judge Tennyson was the one who decided on the case. I did ask Bishop Joe Tennyson to request that Bishop Long have an HIV test because of what's going on in the community.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, so you requested that? And what did they, what was the answer?
I sent a letter back, I think it was in November, December. In fact, it was October. I sent a certified letter to Judge Painter that wanted the judge that presided over the case requested that Bishop Eddie Long have an HIV test. I did post that letter with a certified letter on my website, www.rubenarmstrongshow.com. Anyone want to see a copy of the certified letter I gave to Judge Painter? I think with the African American community, that it's important that homosexuality is a broad concern in our community. And we as African American people have the highest risk of HIV, STDs, and we do not take care of ourselves and go and check on the doctors. That's why all the pressure is going on here in our community, and our churches are not addressing the issue in our community. That's the reason why this is what's going on in our community more.
Exactly. That is so true. We don't want to discuss. It's like taboo. And it's like the ideal that, okay, let your parents. If your parents don't tell you, oh, well. But isn't it also the responsibility of the church? Because not only are the kids at home, they're away from home, and lots of times they're in church if they're nowhere else. And shouldn't that be a platform or an area where the parents would get permission for somebody who is spiritually, associated, where they can, teach them about how important it is, HIV and STDs. And it's like, it's funny to the other races because they're like, okay, they know it's out there, but they study, having unprotected sex with males, females, male on male, female on female, it's gotten worse. And the African American women, we really truly need to wake up because they're saying our numbers are way off. I mean, we're way out there because we continue to have unprotected sex with these men that are having sex with men and that are having sex with other women who are doing unprotected sex. And it's like a big cycle. And it's up to us, like you said, to educate ourselves and to educate our young boys and girls on how to protect yourself. And not only that, just sometimes don't do it.
Right, right.
I'm not anti-American, but we are
people, other countries view us as being stupid. We try to be the big hardcore, but really people see us as being ignorant and stupid. A lot of countries actually view us as being that way, and I know it's, I mean, the reality is just listen to some of the news reports and how other countries really view us. We're not this strong mega country anymore. I mean, because we've been dumbed down. Everything is nice, quick, in a hurry. 5 seconds this, 2 minutes this, 2 minutes that. Microwave. We have become a microwave society. And it's really, really, really to the point where, you know, you're like, man, is anything gonna ever going to change? Is anything going to ever be like it used to be, you know? And I say no. I think we're moving forward to something that I don't think anybody's expecting.
I want people to understand that when I wrote those books was not written to the blind by the Christ. Those books were written to invite people there to be aware that there are false prophets out there. Mm-hmm. Not most of these churches sit there and carry your Bibles on Sundays, on Wednesday, on prayer service, and all the time you carry your Bibles during that time, and then the rest of the week, you don't hear about them.
Exactly.
You go there and face the book, but you sit there and don't even know what you're talking about. But if you read the Bible sometimes, some of these ministers that preaching mm-hmm. barely even preaching what the Bible says.
Yep.
All of these ministers are using the scriptures out of context to only to accommodate them.
Exactly.
About what they want to do. And once they accomplish the hidden agenda, let me know. That's going to go away as a
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you go to some of these churches in the area, in Louisiana, or whether it's Texas or California, New York, and you've been living with the church for a long period of time, and your lights get turned off, and then you go to the church, and the church says, oh, we don't have money to fund. We can't hear you. But then you got a pastor that has a car store and a grocery, then you have all these churches that the pastor has security.
You're right. They'd rather talk about you than to give you a helping hand. You're right.
And I will not, if certain things a pastor says to me,
when I'm listening to him and it don't sound right, I'm automatically already know. That's not what, because I learned the Bible at a young age. And I went to a all-white church. When I first started going to church, my mom wasn't even going to church. We were living in, I think we were living in Michigan at the time. And I learned the Bible when I was going to this all-white church. And they literally taught you the word. So it was different when I started going to our churches because it was a whole different ballgame. It wasn't taught the same way, you know. And it takes a long time for you to find a church that fits what you want. And it's about the word. It's not about a fashion show. It's not about who's sleeping with who. It's not about how many men I can get up in the church or women, they want to get up in the church. It's about going in there, get the word, and go home. You know, and so church has turned, it is so different now. Church is nothing like it used to be.
But church is now more becoming a corporate entity where the pastors are acting as CEOs and the parishioners are acting as shareholders.
Yeah. It's more of a business. Church has become
a business. It's not a working place. You get your soul saved. And say, you know, and I want to say this too, because we talk about the Black History Month. About, you know, our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our children are important. They are our future. But then you go to these churches doing this. Throw your hood up. Throw your click up. Go to every stand on the street and to the church. Some of the churches have to come and corrupt. If you go to some of these churches now, you think you know if you're a crowd or you're a church. The same thing, they go to the street. They go to the club on Saturday night, party on night, get drunk, get out of the time.
I was going to say the same thing, that the way to reach the teenagers and the young kids is to go on their level. Don't just stay, you know, like we're, you know, up there and then, you know, you don't hit their level because, you know, we need to get their souls too. But you said it already. Because he could be faking and so can she. like they got it going on and they doing all the right things. And when you get that person, you start dating, you'll see it's not what it is. And I don't know. It just amazes me when you sit back and you look at all of the stuff that's going on in the churches and outside the churches with us church folks. Okay? I don't know, I guess because I can almost put myself in that category because I don't pretend like I'm all that, and I don't pretend like, you know, there's a halo over my head because I've got a lot of stuff I got to clean out of my closet, you know. And I can't walk around and pretend like I'm better than everybody else. But some of these church folk, come in there with their $500 or $600 suits on, and you can't say good morning, you know. And I don't get it. And we're supposed to be there for the word. It doesn't matter what you come in. He's not looking at your clothes. He's not looking at the car you drive up in. He's not looking at what kind of house you're living in. God is looking for your soul because that's what's going to get you heaven or hell, where your soul is at. And it starts now. It's not later on down the road. It's where your soul. And then you have so many people that don't want to change. I don't care what you tell them. They're going to continue to go to that church where they're not getting fulfilled because they're so used to going to it, you know. They're going to go where the pastor is doing all the things that you said he's doing, and they're fine with that. You know, they're going to – but that person can lead you to hell, and you're not even paying attention to him leading you to hell because you don't know anything else because you're not taking time out to read the word for yourself. You're just looking forward to him reading to you every Sunday or preaching to you every Sunday. You never do that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of scary to a certain extent because you do want to be able to go to heaven and you don't want to be following around the wrong person. But sometimes they're so good at what they do, it's hard to be, you know, you don't catch the food. You don't catch them. You don't catch the fakeness in it, you know. And it is scary, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Armstrong, you have anything else you want to leave the audience?
Well, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to enlighten us about Black History Month and about what goes on in our churches. And I do want people to know that, you know, we just need to read the Bible for ourselves. The Bible says that if they show God a step of $200 a month, that means we're not to be ashamed, but that is my word to shoot. And the problem is that we're not studying.
Yeah.
If we study, then we can see that we will have all some of this crookedness, this thing that's going on in our churches. And I want to say to the pastors that listen to this broadcast. I mean, they're on good ones, they're on bad ones. And if there's one out there that's listening, that's a bad one. It's time to give your life to Christ.
Yeah.
Definitely given the time that we spoke. We got war everywhere. We don't know if it's going to be summer or spring. I mean, Texas right here. Yesterday it was last week, it was snowing. This week, it's 80 degrees. I mean, today it's 79 degrees right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow, it's going to be 44 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we don't know what's going on. 7 months left, and it's global warming. We as people, we destroying our words out, the word ourselves, the world ourselves. We're destroying the world right here. Technology and everything else. So if you don't get some stuff right with the Lord right now, it's at the time right now to give your son to Christ and make it right and be right. This is the time. But I want to say thank you, everybody, for giving me the opportunity to speak about Black History Month, about the churches, about these hustles that follow. It's an pulpit. They got the bing, 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 and that's what's up.
Yeah. Yes, you are so right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Armstrong, and I will be talking with you again, and I want you to have a nice afternoon, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys, that was my interview with the controversial Mr. Reuben Armstrong, and I would like to say this, you guys. I enjoyed that conversation because, and that's one of the reasons why I love Blog Talk Radio, is because I'm allowed to say whatever I want. And please do not get the impression that I'm so against churches and I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm totally involved in my church. But I just want everyone to know that you have to be really, truly, very much so, careful about who you are allowing to lead your soul, okay? Because each pastor, bishop, reverend has a responsibility. If they've been called to the word, they have a responsibility, and their responsibility is to win souls and to make sure that they're leading you to heaven and not hell. So we do have to be very, very careful who we follow, and we do need to know that word. We need to know the word for ourselves. And, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm being preachy, or I'm just trying to clarify, and I'm trying to reiterate what we were discussing. It is so scary out there now, you guys, and it's so easily, we're so easily influenced because we're begging and we're crying and we want to have something to believe in and something to hold on to. And sometimes it's not in the person. We need to stop believing in people, and we need to start believing first and foremost in yourself. And then you need to believe in, and I'm not pushing Christianity on everybody, because everybody is not a Christian. Some people have other religions. Whoever that entity that you desire to allow to inspire your spirit, then, I mean, so be it, but have something to believe in, you know, something. I mean, I would be wrong to not allow people who listen to my show that don't believe in God to allow them to take that away from them. If that's what they don't believe, that's fine. I'm not pushing. I'm not trying to make that a big major thing. I'm just basically saying have something to believe in when it comes to your spirit. You know, Christianity to me is where it should be, but, you know, some people don't believe in God, and I truly understand that. They believe in other things, and that's fine with me. But for me, God works for me. If it doesn't work for anybody else, God works for me. And I'm talking about the big G God, not the little G, the big G God. That works for me. And it works for a lot of other people. I just want you guys to be careful who you follow. You really, really need to be careful who you follow. And make sure you're watching and staying alert, because he says that in the word, you need to be alert. Don't fall asleep, okay? Don't fall asleep, because you're going to miss something. And the first thing you want to do is get mad because you missed it, okay? And I want to say this, too. If you're part of a church, you guys get involved in your church. We sit back and we complain about a lot of things. And I know I told you guys, first of all, that we were going to talk about Fannie Lou Hamer, and I did say that. But I'm trying to find where I left off at with her. But in the meantime, I'm just kind of getting this kind of off my chest. Get involved in your church. Don't leave the work to others, and then when others do all the work, you complain about what they're doing and how they're doing it. If you didn't put your hands in it to help, be quiet, sit back, enjoy, be quiet. Don't say anything. I mean, that just burns me up when people complain about everything that happens in church, but you not one time did you volunteer your time to come up to the church on a day off or a couple of hours after work to help with the children or any type of programs that are going on. Don't leave the same people doing the same thing over and over again. Take time out to help out sometimes. You know, sacrifice some of your time if that's what it takes. If it's going to make a difference in something, how a program happens or how a situation takes place, take that time out and do that, you know, because we are helpers, you know, and we are servers of God. That's what we do. We serve. And that's part of your talent is serving others, helping out, you know, assisting people. You know, don't be afraid, but don't go to church, sit up and complain about how programs are ran and how people didn't do this when you haven't even taken time out to come up there to not sit around and criticize but help. What can I do? Can I suggest? Maybe if we look at it this way, and maybe if we could do it this way, open up your mouth. Be part of the church. Don't be just coming in there, sitting down, and complaining. That just burns me up with us. We always ready to complain about something when we haven't even helped to do anything. We haven't touched one time have we taken our time, a piece of paper, didn't give anybody a pen, didn't do nothing, didn't say hi or nothing to anybody. You just want to come so you have a reason to complain. And that's why I was saying in the interview how we, our personalities don't change. We go to church with that same old personality, that same old dead spirit. There's so many people sitting in church with dead spirits. And you can see them. If you have the spirit of discernment, you see those dead spirits. They just come to church. And it's all in their faces and the way they carry themselves. They're just there because they're so used to going every Sunday to church. Every Sunday they come and sit, pay their tithes, and that's all, and they head out the door. They don't want to be involved. And always ready to point the finger at someone else. Stop that, church folk. Stop that. Stop that. You guys, you make the difference. You stand out. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to get off my soapbox about church. But I just wanted you guys to know, and I really enjoyed that interview with Mr. Armstrong. I will be talking to him again. He's a very busy man. He's working on a couple more projects right now. So it was I really enjoyed the conversation with him. Now, let's see if I can find something on Fannie Lou Hamer. I was going to discuss what will be on the show next week, but guess what, you guys? I haven't put my agenda together for next week at all because I don't know what I want to talk about. Let's see here. We're with Fannie Lou Hamer. Let me see what I can find on her here. Let's see. I'm trying to see if I've already played this one already. Just a second.
My name is Mrs.
Craddock. Some child challenges the hand of Senator James O. Easton and Senator King. It was the 31st of August in 1962 that 18 of those childers took the 6th to the county courthouse in Illinois to file to register to become first-class citizens. We was met in Illinois by police. Highway patrolmen, and they only allowed two of us in to take the literacy test at the time. After we had taken this test and started back to Louisville, we were held up by the city police and the state highway patrolmen and carried back to Indianola, where the bus driver was charged that day was driving a bus the wrong color. After we paid the fine among us, we continued on to Louisville, and Reverend Jeff Sonny carried me 4 miles in the rural area where I had worked as a timekeeper and sharecropper for 18 years. I was met there by my children. They told me the plantation owner was angry because I had gone down prior to register. After they told him the husband came and said the plantation owner was raising Cain because I had tried to register. And before he took charge of the plantation owner came and said, "Fannie, do you know the cop tell you what I said?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I mean that, said if you don't go down and withdraw your registration, you will have to leave. But then if you go down and withdraw, so you still might have to go because we are not ready for that in Mississippi." And I addressed him and told him that I didn't try to register for you. I tried to register for myself. I had to leave that same night. On the 6th of September 1962, 16 bullets were fired into the home of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Tucker for me. That same night, two girls were shot in Louisville,
Our telephones off of the hook.
because our lives be threatened daily, because we want to live as decent human beings in America. Thank you.
Okay, I'm hoping that wasn't the one I played last week. Sounds like I did. I think I did. But anyway, you listen to all, you know, I'm listening to it and I'm playing it in my head what happened to our sisters and brothers that were trying to fight for us to vote. That's awesome. So we don't have a reason to walk around with our heads down. I don't get it. I mean, we've done so much. We are a people of survival. We are a people of survival. We have been through hell and back. There is no need for us not to prosper in our lives, educational-wise, owning our own businesses. There's no reason for us to not prosper. I mean, the road was led for us. They paved the road for us to be where we're at. I mean, listening to what she went through as a woman, and I'm saying to all African-American women out there, listen to what this lady went through. She was almost a martyr. She actually went through all of this so that you and I can vote. And why don't we? That's amazing. And, I mean, that's why I say I feel good born in the year of 1964, because I know it was a phenomenal year. I know it was so much going on during that year for us. And it amazed me how things started. Because it didn't start in 64. It actually, 64 was like at the mid-level, the midway through all the civil rights stuff. It heightened up when, like, the Civil Rights Act was put in place. It was signed by the president. You know, all of this stuff was just right in the middle. And then you had 65, 67, 68. When 68 happened, that's like when, you know, we were almost at the end of us actually being recognized and everything going on for us. They finally wanted to do things with us, to work with us, even though they were still reluctant. You know, growing up in the 70s, there was still a lot of stuff that was going on, especially in the South. Because by then, a lot of people have already moved up north, even though it was up north too, you guys. Don't think it wasn't. It was up north too. But the South was still struggling with a lot of stuff, you know. So I feel good being born in 1964. I really do. I feel that I was part of history, in a sense, to me. To me, personally, I was part of history in the year of 1964. Now, I do not want this to be the end of Black history, because I'm not going to end it. I can keep it going. And from time to time, I will be bringing back and forth stuff that's dealing with events and situations that are dealing with our African-Americans and Black history. I think next week I want to work on Black-on-Black crime. So I'm going to make a note of that to work on, do some research, and discuss Black-on-Black crime. I think that would be very interesting to do. Well, you guys, we're down to 4 minutes, and I'm sorry you weren't able to call in. I didn't give the number out because I had pre-recorded the interview with Mr. Armstrong, so that's the reason why I didn't give out the number to the show tonight, because you wouldn't have been able to talk to him anyway. But you could have asked me a couple of questions, I guess. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But anyway, charge it to my head and not my heart, okay, because I didn't do it on purpose. So, you guys, I'm just kind of just hoping you guys learned a lot from the ideal that we celebrated Black History. Let's kind of recap on the people that I talked to this month, as far as Marquetta Breslin, the woman who makes the young lady who has her own business and making full lace wigs. She has her own seminar. She even has her own building to do her seminars in. I think that was so awesome when she told me that. Let's talk about Reverend Andrew Tate III with his production company, which I think is so awesome. And I've already told him we will be connecting again because that's one of my loves. And then last week we basically talked about Fannie Lou Hamer. We talked about the year of 1964, how important it is that you look and see what year you born in and see what history was founded or connected to that year. And I thought 1964 was a good year to be born in, and I thought I would do something on that. And then last but not least, we talked to author, speaker, Mr. Reuben Armstrong, to end my Black History Month celebration. So I say to you guys out there, make your own history. Do not let February be the only month you celebrate your history, because I say your history because you're Black, you're African American. So do not let February be the only time that you celebrate your history. Celebrate it every day. Make an attempt to do your own history. Open pathways for others. Be kind. Do what's right. And if you have to second guess it, you know it's not right. Okay? And teach your children about who they are. Teach them about their family. Okay? And where they came from. Be strong, and again, happy Black History Month, and I will talk to you guys next week. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. Good night.